From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Marketing Matters on Business Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Marketing Matters here on Business Radio, Sirius XM 132. I'm Barbara Kahn, the Patty and J.H. Baker Professor of Marketing, and I'm joined by my co-host, Americus Reed, the Whitney M. Young Jr. Professor of Marketing and the Brand Identity Theorist. And our guest today is Mark Singer, who's Deloitte Digital's U.S. Chief Marketing Officer, their CMO, and he's the U.S. agency lead. Mark, welcome to Marketing Matters.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
So nice before we get into your background and what's new, because I know you're doing some really interesting global rebranding and getting into all the exciting generative AI, and we definitely do want to talk about that.
Yes.
Tell us like what Deloitte Digital is and how it positions into the, I assume it's part of Deloitte, right? Is that right?
It is. Okay, we are.
Let's start with the basics, Mark.
We'll get there. So Deloitte Digital is not a separate company from Deloitte. Mm-hmm. It is a business unit essentially within Deloitte that we created about 10, almost 11 years ago, specifically focused to help us drive more innovation, drive creativity, drive this sort of intersection of like consulting, creative, agency, marketing, content into this really interesting world where, like, if you think 10 years ago, what was happening, technology was advancing, internet was like full on mature, user interfaces were really important, the way in which you interacted with humans was really important. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Deloitte Digital does. Like, that's what we focus in on. It's you know, the easiest sort of tagline to think about it is anything that is customer oriented, that's what we do. Sales, marketing, service, products, advertising, you know, name, commerce, you name it, anything that requires this intersection with customers.
Interesting.
So do you have like a consulting kind of framework like the rest of Deloitte, or is it more like an agency, or how does
great
it work?
Great question. Yeah, great question. We like to say we are consulting powered by creativity. So it is an agency framework. We can show up and look and feel and smell just like any other agencies. I have a background sort of living in sort of this intersection of agency world and consulting. But what really brings, I think, an interesting power to that is, you know, agencies will think about content and how to create movement and how to create discussion and build brands, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Consulting will look at the business and how to improve the business and create drive transformation through and into the business. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we sit, is at this really unique intersection that as an agency, I can pull interesting consulting resources and capabilities and thought leadership in. And as a consulting firm, they could pull agency thinking and creativity and thought leadership in. And really, at the end of the day, help give, you know, doesn't matter what part of an enterprise it is, give them a really unique way of solving their problem.
Interesting.
So do the other consulting firms do things like this, or is this unique? I mean, because I also think of Deloitte as being more retail-oriented.
Hold on. What other consulting firms? There are no other consulting firms.
I don't know any other ones.
I don't know. I can't name another one.
We were the first one. We came out, like I said, we came out in 2010, 2009, I guess, with sort of the start of it. I like to say that, you know, what we did was, as a consulting firm, we sort of like woke the industry up.
Interesting.
That, you know, our business, and there's a space for this as marketing transforms and becomes more data and tech oriented.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of people that have followed suit since then.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So now tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to be the CMO of Deloitte Digital.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I gave you a little bit of a hint. I sort of spent my time on agencies and consulting throughout, but I won't go way back. But I will say that I think, like most good marketers, we have a mosaic background, is a nice way of putting it. Mm-hmm. I was going to go to medical school. I was full on ready to go to medical school.
Wow.
I was excited about it. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, I can't do another 6 or 8 years of school. And so, but I wanted to get involved.
It wasn't medicine. It was school.
It was school, right? But I loved it. I loved the communications side of this were to teaching. And so, like, one of the things that I was able to do at my college was I actually filmed the first heart lung transplant.
Holy.
And because I had that experience and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, like learning all this comm stuff. So that led me into media. That then led me into agency land. That then led me into digital. And I was at a number of different companies that I ran. And then I went to Deloitte to try to do the same thing. Went back to agencies for a time being and then came back. And I don't think I ever have any interest in going anywhere else again.
Wow.
And so when I came back, it was really to build this agency.
Build it up.
And then through the natural process became the CMO of the business. So.
Very cool.
By the way, you keep calling it agency. You know, I was thinking because we have to teach marketing and we have to tell careers to our students and things like that. Is there such thing as advertising agencies anymore? Does anybody call themselves an advertising agency?
It's really funny you said that. We literally were having a large discussion about this about a month ago. I don't believe so. Like, you know, this notion of advertising by its core definition is essentially it's paid media. It's it's broadcasting out.
Yep.
And I think we're well in a world where we're broadcasting. Sure, it's efficient. It's an efficient mechanism. But like, you got to think broader than advertising. And I actually view it more as like marketing agency. Right. At the end of the day, it is the ability to support and bring specialty and bring unique capabilities into businesses that for themselves to like hire and bring in house would require significant investment for them to do. So like, you're right. It's a good call. I don't think anyone calls themselves an ad agency anymore. In fact, it's funny, like a lot of traditional ad agencies start calling themselves like more like consulting firms or transformation.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it's kind of a funny thing.
It's really kind of fun to watch the whole thing kind of manifest itself.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, so that was happening even before what we're going to talk about right now, this idea of advertising changing into branding agencies or creative or consulting and all this
content,
other stuff. And that is all before generative AI.
Right.
And generative AI has had mammoth effects, as far as I can tell, in marketing. I mean, marketing is a field that's really embraced generative AI. It's almost as if it was made for that field. And I think that you're announcing, you know, a whole new kind of initiative around this idea. Do you want to talk to that idea?
Wow.
Sure. Yeah. So we went through an exercise, you know, as a business that is designed to be innovative and bringing unique capabilities and unique things together. We went through this initiative, which we do every couple of years, just to, how do we evolve our positioning? How do we continue to talk about ourselves and sort of refresh, you know, our narrative, our marketplace positioning, et cetera. And, you know, fast forward, one of our core tenets of our business was always this concept of what we brought things together, because in a modern world of today's marketing, it's not good enough just to be great creative. It's not good enough just to have great data and great tools or great tech or whatever. You got to figure out how to bring everything together in a way that is unique and helps solve a problem. And so we challenged ourselves to figure out like what's the best way of sort of manifesting the way in which we talk about ourselves. We went through a lot of different words like collision and whatever. And but it came from our creative teams that have been experimenting with Gen AI for a while, and they literally put in a prompt of, you know, here are two things that don't seem to belong together. And and let's see what comes up. And it became a really interesting visualization. And that led us to this idea that, you know, Gen AI, everyone's been talking, you're right, like this industry is made for Gen AI. Everyone's been talking about Gen AI as this like it's going to be efficient, it's going to be production, we can go make a lot of things, you can drive personalization, right, all this stuff. But it got us sort of asking, like, aren't there some other use cases, some higher order use cases? Can I actually personalize my brand to the customer I'm talking to? And which is almost the antithesis of what a brand means, right? It is like a brand is like, it's solid, it's state. I have a brand book, you got to follow it. And can Gen AI actually play a role in driving personalization in brand interactions?
Oh, interesting.
And what we ended up finding out was that there's a really unique way that Gen AI could give a visualization. And this is really all around identity visualization, but give a visualization of what you represent and who you are to your customer in a way that is super relevant to them. So for example, I deal with sectors, I deal with, I told you, sales, marketing, commerce, service. So like, let's say I'm going to an automotive client and I'm going and I'm bringing a commerce idea to them. I bring auto and commerce together. I mash that together. I get a really interesting branded visualization that's very clearly Deloitte digitally owned. Mm. And our sales teams can have conversations with them now.
So let me just think about what that process is. So you take all the data from the auto or from whatever the customer data is, and then you take all of your history in your brand identity and brand visual or whatever it is, and then you mash those two data together so that you're coming up with a much more customized view of your brand to your customer.
100%. That's probably the simplest way anyone's ever explained it, but that is exactly what happens. And we build it off of, you know, there's some core tools out there. We experimented with a bunch of them. We settled on Firefly, which is Adobe's tool. Mm. And we created our own version and our own sort of language model on top of that to protect our assets. And you know, we get really unique visualizations that come out of that.
That's really cool.
For our teams.
Let me ask you this, Mark. How help me understand, because I'm a digital immigrant, and I struggle with all of this stuff. I'm just trying to, you know, stay afloat. How do you protect? Because this is what happens. Like, people are going to look at Deloitte, thought leader here, and they're going to try to copy what you're doing. What's built into this that they can't copy? That the tools are already out there, but they're looking at what you're doing, and there's some protected runway. There's some aspects that they just can't rep. What is that stuff that is sort of the moat, if you will, that protects what you're doing from just being replicated and, you know, people riding your coattails to success?
Why can't anyone go into Firefly and create it, basically? Right? So, like, there, without getting into too much of the technical depth behind it, there's a version of bringing your own models into these environments where your models are your data and your information.
This is what Barbara was talking about.
Mm-hmm. That way. So,
gotcha.
So it is, and I think we'll get to a point also where you can start bringing your own, you know, large language models in it as well.
Wow.
And I think the technology will continue advancing in really super interesting ways. But, you know, it's really, you know, there's the setup, which is engineering and data and tech kind of coming together. But then there's the security, the cyber side of it. But you know, at the end of the day, it is pretty it is a pretty powerful tool that, as marketers, once you learn to harness it in a way that works for you, like, it is, you can be unstoppable at the end.
So that's when you have an existing customer with their own preferences and an existing brand. I think you're also talking about being able to use this to bring in new customers, new ideas, you know, like to replace.
100% about, yep.
So go ahead, tell us how that works.
I was going to say, it's 100% about your ability to, for us, it's 100% about sales. It's 100% about connecting. Like, we're a B2B organization, right? So I'm sure in your classes, you talk, there's like B2C marketing and B2B marketing, and then there's, you know, variations in between. So we're a B2B marketing organization.
Got it.
My job is not only to build a marketplace brand for who we are, but also to help drive demand and sales for our team. So at the end of the day, I am inextricably linked to our sales team. Mm. So our ability to show up in a way that is relevant to customers and prospects is super important. So, so to your question, Barbara, like, this idea of doing this in a way to drive sales is important. And that's how we focus it. And what we use is our industry data, right? At the end of the day, you're an auto. Your telco, your media, your banking, right? So we'll use a lot of our industry insights and data within that.
But what I really want to know is, like, how do you get to new, you know, like creating something that didn't exist before? So, like, one of the things I think is a liability or a limitation of generative AI is, doesn't it only work if there's existing data? So how can you take the existing data to come up with new ideas? I mean, because when you think about agency, creativity, that's what you're thinking about, not mashing together databases.
Right,
you're thinking about coming up with something brand new. Can generative AI do that?
You know, I think there's,
a great
there's
question.
Two things to think about in that, right? It's a great question. Two things to think about. And now we're talking philosophy of Mark here. In a world of creativity, I think the reality of a lot of creativity is not necessarily things cut from whole cloth. We are humans.
Ah.
We have human experience. Creativity is about unlocking the data we already know.
That's
we just haven't been able to access it.
That's interesting.
And so it is about creating new connections and new ways of thinking about it. Now, you pose an interesting question, because you talked about, like, you can only do it with the data that you have. a really interesting use case for generative AI is the ability to create synthetic data, which is your ability to start creating new data out of data that you have, which gets super complex in the end of it. But there is a way of being able to do that. We haven't deployed that yet. So you can start adding data that you don't have by generating new data with that.
Interesting.
But to the core of your question, I do think that, at the end, like what great creatives do as humans is they unlock things that you don't necessarily see, but when you see it, you go like, "That's so obvious. I get that."
Interesting.
And there's a certain gestalt behind that.
I love that. I just want to build on that, Mark, because when you're describing this, it made me, when you were clarifying this, it made me think about music as an analogy. And when you have someone like a great artist shows up, it's not like they show up anew. They have all of these influences, yeah. Hendrix and this, and they yeah. bring these things and their own interests in, and they create this new thing. But you can hear a little bit of that old lineage that's in there. So maybe that's a similar kind of thing that's going on.
So
here.
I'm sure you know more about this, Mark, than I do. But in this generative AI, it's not just words and pictures. They have been creating new music
yeah.
based on mm-hmm. old music, new video based
new
on old video.
Yep.
So what's the state of the art on that? Is that good yet? Or is that, do you work with that?
We don't work with some of what you talked about. As a consumer of it, I can tell you I've seen some really interesting things being done with music. And there's this great Instagram that he basically takes artists, he uses AI to mimic their voice, and then he has those artists sing other songs. So you could have Johnny Cash singing a Taylor Swift song.
Yes.
It's so fascinating
yes.
to see that.
Yes.
And you ask about the state of the art. I mean, I think we are at the beginning of like what is state of the art right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're fascinated by it. We're going to go through the hype cycle. People are then going to figure out like, all right, how do I really use this in a way that is meaningful and not just entertainment? But I think I do think state of the art is at this point, I can't see the barriers of what that could look like in the end. And it's really fascinating. And by the way, just a side note, and I'll just get in front of this because I'm sure you'll ask this. People are worried that AI is going to take everybody's job.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
I figured it like.
Inoculation 101, Mark Singer. Professor Singer, jump in here.
No.
Totally where I was going. Totally.
So I will just kind of get in front of it and say, I think they've been saying this since the Gutenberg press, right? all this new technology is going to take away everyone's job. If you're a great creative person, and I don't care if you're a creative or you're a marketer or you're a business person, but you are a creative thinker, your ability to understand how to use these tools will make you so successful and will accelerate everything you can do and make you better at it. And I think it's really a thing for us because at the end of the day, machines still have to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not at the state of singularity where like machines will just sort of do their own thing, right?
Yes.
And they still have to be told what to do. A human needs to be involved in telling them what to do. People's jobs will change, sure. Creative will change, sure. But a good, strong creative that knows how to use the tools will be unstoppable.
Let me reintroduce you. I'm Barbara Kahn, along with America's Read. This is Marketing Matters. And we're joined by Mark Singer, who's Deloitte Digital's U.S. Chief Marketing Officer and the U.S. Agency Lead. If you'd like to ask Mark or any of us a question throughout today's show, please feel free to call in at 1-844-WHARTON. That's 1-844-942-7866. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, I don't know if you can do this. I don't know if it's secret or even if you have it on top of your mind or whatever. But can you give us any concrete examples of something you're super proud of that you've done through generative AI, just so we can get a feel for it?
Yeah.
For a client, I probably can't talk about specific clients, but what I can tell you, what I've been super proud of is our content team. And one of the things that our content team has done is created what we think is probably one of the more interesting interfaces into generative AI.
Mm.
Because it brings together a lot of different tool sets under an operating construct that allows our teams to go in and do a number of things. Like, we can create translations very quickly. We can integrate that into a workflow. Our creative teams can integrate it. We can do net new content and copy based upon a creative brief that we literally upload on there, and it starts spitting out content and copy that then our writers and copywriters can go and edit on. One of the more interesting use cases that we're continuing to expand on is concept development. So if you think about you're launching a new brand or you're a company that is you know in a merger and acquisition and you're bringing things together, or you are in a trying to reach a new market, you know, the ability to put literally upload a brief and literally upload what good looks like in the industry and come out with just some, you know, they say pictures worth a thousand words, visualizations that allows our creative teams to look at it and go like, that's an interesting connection. How do I start to exploit that as a concept and an idea are really things that I think we've been super, super, super proud of starting to use. I mean, and this tool that you know, around, you know, personalized branding, I do think there's really interesting market for us to push ourselves around how do I personalize, you know, how does Wharton personalize itself to the students that it wants to attract? And they're going to be very diverse group of people, right? How does Deloitte Digital do that to the different industries? And I think there's something really interesting in the way of how do you show up as a brand and how do you brand yourself to be super relevant?
So let me ask you, like, here we are, Marcus and I are professors. We're trying to teach our students to get jobs at Deloitte or Deloitte Digital. You know?
Please hire our students, Mark.
Come on,
what can
come
you
on
do?
Down.
Finally, we get to the point of the show. Please hire our students, Mark.
So, and we're trying to think, what should we teach them to make them, you know, desirable. To you? How much benefit do you think there is in our teaching them the basics? You know, as America started out earlier, segmentation, targeting, positioning, and I teach marketing 101. You know, if they're going to have generative AI do all this, should we be schooling them in how to prompt? Or is there, do you, as a potential hirer of our students, think there's some value in us still teaching them the basics that we've been teaching them?
I believe that there are certain fundamentals for marketers that you have to have. You have to understand the concept of what segmentation is. You have to understand the concept of what brand and positioning and value, developing a value prop and a messaging architecture. You have to understand, you know, marketing workflow. You have to understand, you know, but you also have to understand tools. You have to understand what does content management do for you? What does CDP do for me? What do these tools do? You have to understand what the data does for you. And the way that I would look at it is if you don't have the fundamentals of understanding these concepts, I mean, you teach segmentation, but you're really teaching the concept of segmentation, not like the process of how I do segmentation.
No, right.
The
right.
tools
Definitely.
Will be there to do that. So I'm not a subscriber in that the fundamentals of these things go away. You still have to know these things. But what I would love, and by the way, being in this business of well over 20 years, like I think today's new students and marketers have a tremendous opportunity in front of them. The more that they learn these tools and shape what they can do for you, like the faster this business will transform itself and the more effective it will become. And honestly, for them, the more successful careers that they'll end up having.
You know, back to one of America's original question, though, it does seem like it's going to be hard to be competitive in that world. Like, it just seems like somebody's going to win, you know, and it's going to be dominate. I don't know. Like, it seems like it'd be a less competitive world when you have these machines making things more precise.
Is that the case when you had Photoshop or we have, you know, the Gutenberg press? I don't know.
That's
a great question. I think humans are resilient and I think people will find ways to create value out of who they are and what they can do.
Yeah. As they say in the classic film, Jurassic Park, nature finds a way.
I'm glad to hear you believe in the basics. Cause I know we're still teaching that, but we are trying to incorporate these cool tools. Yeah, we have to into our course and make sure our students are the ones you want to hire. By the way, just one last thing I'll ask on the part of my students. How's the industry looking? How's it looking for this kind of for hiring people? And, you know, what is it looking like from your point of view?
Give us the 30-second overview, Mark.
The 30-second overview, I think we all thought it was all going to collapse when COVID hit us, and it's done nothing but grow. I mean, our business has grown by double-digit percentages every single year. I know our clients, you know, continue to hire and they look for good, solid talent. I think there's parts of the industry that are struggling and they're the ones that sort of do things a little bit more, you know, traditional, I would say. But, you know, I don't think there's a I don't think there's a better time in our career for marketers.
Excellent.
Well, that's good news. Thank you, Mark, for joining us today. And where can our listeners go to follow you and everything at Deloitte Digital?
DeloitteDigital.com. And that's the primary avenue for me. And on LinkedIn, happy to connect with anybody.
Oh, very okay.
Cool. Awesome.
Be careful what you wish for.
yeah, I know.
All 5,000 of my students are going to ask for a connection now.
We'd like to thank Dion Simpkins, our producer, and Dana Cash. And we're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We replay our show several times throughout the week. You can follow us at Knowledge at Wharton and see our podcast. Or you can follow Business Radio at SXM Business for information about all our programming. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back next week. Till then, this has been Marketing Matters. I'm Barbara Kahn, here with America's Read, Business Radio, Sirius XM 132.